This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So, Surah Al-Kafirun is the surah that, according to one hadith that Sheikh Al-Bani, rahimahullah, deemed authentic, is equivalent to 1/4 of the Quran. The reward of reciting 1/4 of the Quran, or in it, is one of the four major themes of the Quran. How we interpret it can go this way or that way, but 1/4 of the Quran. And we said in our discussion of Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, that it is equivalent, and that's highly established, to 1/3 of the Quran, and what that may mean. The reason for the revelation of this surah, Al-Kafirun, means the disbelievers, right? The non-believers or the disbelievers. That they had come to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in their final moments, right? Their desperation. Remember, I said Surah Al-Kawthar, Al-Kafirun seem to be very closely aligned in their theme. They're saying, wait it out, he has no kids, just, you know, hold your breath, since nothing else is working, it'll all be over soon. This is another similar sort of bright idea, I say that sarcastically, that they had. They said, let's go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and let's try to dissuade him. Tell him, listen, we'll worship only your God for a year, and you will worship our gods, meaning as well, because they used to worship Allah anyway, but they would worship others alongside him. And you would worship our gods along with your God for a year. So 1 year in, 1 year out. And so the surah came down, says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, right? Like, listen, disbelievers, it doesn't work like this. I do have to make an important disclaimer. While, of course, the theme of this surah is the izzah of the Muslim, and the izzah that a Muslim should have, the dignity and pride he should have in his creed, and that's why the surah ends with lakum dinukum, you got your religion, you do what you want with it, you guys can sort of like change colors on it, put a flag on it, put a skirt on, you do what you want, lakum dinukum, you got your religion, that doesn't mean much to you, so you're willing to bend on it, waliya deen, I have a very different deen, right? It's actually not mine, it belongs to Allah, and I don't want it any other way. So that's how it ends. But the way the surah begins, قُلْ say, يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, O disbelievers, we have to say that the Prophet ﷺ never addressed disbelievers this way. Like, this was not the norm, right? To say, O disbeliever. That would not be, it's not just about politically correct. That would not be intelligent, that would not be kind. Allah said, قُلُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, say kind words to all people. You know, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said about say kind words to all people, he said, if Fir'aun, this is not just a disbeliever, he's like, you know, super disbeliever. He says, I'm God, right? If Fir'aun were to say to me, Barakallahu feek, may Allah bless you, I would say to him, wafiq, and you too. Right back at you. May Allah bless you too. In that context, right? So, he didn't tell people, oh, disbelievers. In fact, the Quran also says that all the prophets, like 50 times, or they say 49 times, the prophets are always addressing their people in a way that would close the distance, right? Say, Ya Qawmi, oh my people. You're my people. You're my, you know, my town. You're my family. We're family. He was sent among them from their for a reason, right? I'm worried about you. So it was only mentioned 2 times in the Quran. One time is regarding, this is not sort of the context of da'wah, this is regarding the Day of Judgment, when the angels will say, La ta'tathiru al-yawm, O disbelievers, don't try to apologize today. إِنَّمَا تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, you're only getting what you used to do. There's nothing else here. It's the day you meet Allah's justice. The other time, so that one was when it was said and done, right? Not da'wah, not a domain for da'wah being inviting and all of that. The other time was in this surah. What is the context of this surah? You're asking me to change my religion, right? Like, I'm being nice and I'm being personable and I'm trying to be kind and I'm trying to work you through your prejudices and all this other stuff. But you're now asking me to change my deen. So that's when you have to sort of reset and say, hold on, I don't think you understand. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, right? That's what قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ means. That's sort of the ethos of the ayah. I don't think you understand. My deen is not like that. You don't get it, do you? My deen doesn't go through upgrades and like software upgrades. No, 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 no. Your deen might, but I don't have this blurring of lines. To mix truth with falsehood means it's falsehood, right? My deen is purely pure. You know, that is also why the discussion of the Abrahamic faiths, we should also be very careful with that language, right? Like, yeah, we all pretty much believe in Abraham. And hold on. If you mean we all believe in a person, Abraham, and then we disagree on other issues, there might be some room, right, for that. But to blur the lines like nothing else matters because there happens to be a personality that we all trace our traditions through, and that becomes what's most important, sort of the social connection, absolutely not. We don't nationalize our religion. This is Allah. This is not sort of what me and you meet on the middle ground with in the negotiation. That's what Surah Al-Kafirun is all about. What's going to be a sweet spot for me and you on the social level? That's when you say, no, no, hold on, full stop. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. That is the idea. Is that clear? It's clear? Okay. You know, one of the names also of Surah Al-Kafirun is Al-Muqashqisha. Al-Muqashqisha. It's a little bit of a mouthful. Scholars used to call this surah, Surah Al-Muqashqisha. Arabs, rise. What is Al-Muqashqisha? Maqasha is a broom, okay? The broom is something you tuqashqishu biha, like you sweep things with. You swipe and then swipe again and swipe again and swipe again. And that's what the surah also came to do. It came to cleanse the soul, right? To sweep out of the soul that temptation to sort of like bend for those asking you to compromise in your religion. There's no change. There will be no change. Of course, in fiqh was designed, right, to vary. It has built-in flexibility, designed to be flexible for times and places, right? But when it comes to this, one God, none, right? And so the temptation to sort of blur that line is what Surah Al-Kafirun is all about, and that's why they used to call it a muqashqisha. Keep sweeping out the dust that creeps into the house, right? Keep getting it out, keep getting it out, keep getting it out. And subhanAllah, think of how often the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to sweep. We said this surah, and Qul huwallahu ahad, used to be read in rak'atay al-fajr, so the beginning of the day. And then the rak'atayn, the two rak'ahs after maghrib, the end of the day. And then he used to recite it in his witr, so the end of his night as well, right? Round the clock, he's sweeping, alayhi salatu wasalam, as Allah azza wa jal taught him. Okay. Let us try to work through some of the wordings of this, though there's a lot of linguistics in the surah, and so it's a little bit challenging, I'll have to admit. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. Say, in the right context, O you who have disbelieved, O disbelievers. لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. I don't worship what you worship. And there is a difference between لن أعبد and لا أعبد. لن means I will not worship what you worship. But لا أعبد is wider. It's more comprehensive. So it means I didn't and won't. I have not and will not worship what you worship. Is this clear? So لا أعبد, I don't worship what you worship. Past, present, future. That's what he means by لا. As opposed to then. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ. Nor are you worshipping who I worship. The other interpretation, they're both correct, inshallah. Nor are you worshipping... I said what? Did I say what I worship? I said what, right? So the ma here is the controversy. You don't worship what I worship, or you don't worship in the way that I worship. In other words, what? With this offer you're bringing me of like the midway solution, you're not realizing that that's not worshiping Allah, right? Like, it's not that I worship Allah. I recognize that you also worship Allah. But worship in Islam is to worship only Allah. That's what makes Islam Islam. It's that I refuse, by definition, anything else. You get it? And so, we're speaking past each other, is almost what the verse is saying. لا أعبد ما تعبد ولا أنتم. You need to understand that you're saying the word worship, but you're not worshiping what I'm worshiping, right? So long as you're worshiping equals with him, or you're not understanding what worship is. Yeah, you have some ritual, you have some superstition, you have a little bit of like spirituality going, got some mysticism there, but this is not worship. Worship is only worship when it's pure. That's what he's trying to tell them, right? Not astaghfirullah, not trying to tell them. But this is the objective of this language according to the Mufassirin. Then the next verse says, لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ. Got that? Number four now. وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ. Nor am I a worshipper. So I don't worship what you worship. That was number two. وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ. Not لَا أَعْبُدُ. أَعْبُدُ is an act. I don't worship. وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ. Nor am I a worshipper. This is called اسم فاعل. اسم فاعل is like, has a different implication. So if I played soccer once in my life, I'm not a soccer player. Read it, right? Soccer player is because I've done this for a significant portion of my life. Yes? That's the idea. So وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ. Nor am I a worshipper of what you worship. Meaning, like, have you seen me ever do this? Even before Islam, I wouldn't do this, right? Am I known to be a mushrik, right? I'm not a worshipper. I've never been this person. وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدْ. The number five is, and you have never worshipped what I worship. There's a nuance here. If I've lost you, it's okay. Just the general also theme is most important, is paramount. But the third verse and the fifth verse are actually the same exact verse, right? Whoever memorized Surah Al-Kafirun knows they get caught up in this. Like, wait a minute, is this the first one or the second one when you're first learning it? But the scholars differed on وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدْ. Are these for emphasis? And it could be for emphasis. There is nothing redundant about the Qur'an repeating itself. The Qur'an does repeat itself in certain ways at certain times. And there is great wisdom in that. You know, I was telling people, Allah guided me once to say to someone, when they say, why does the Qur'an repeat itself? I said, I don't know if this is sort of like lousy or not, but because I need to tell you 1,000 times to clean your room. And we can all relate to that with kids, like we tell the kids 1,000 times. But it's not just kids. Muqashqisha, right? It's not just kids. We have a room up here, and we have a room up here that we're always getting cluttered. So the crowdedness of life requires this. So Allah knows, subhanahu wa ta'ala, our nature. And so even the repetition and even the proportions of how much he repeats where is perfectly designed to bring us to the shores of safety. Yes? So some scholars said, وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدْ. And you don't worship what I worship. Or you don't worship at all, depending on what the meaning is. That being repeated in the third verse and the fifth verse. Is that emphasis? Like repetition for emphasis? That is one interpretation. The other interpretation is that the first one, you don't worship, meaning through this offer. The first one is about this offer. That's what's like implied, intended, this offer of yours, the negotiation you're putting on the table, the supposed truce. That doesn't count. That's what the first one means. You're not worshiping what I worship according to this agreement. You're telling me 1 year for your God, 1 year for mine. No, neither of them is my God pleased with. There's no selectivity here. So that's the meaning of the first one. You're not worshiping what I worship, meaning like this, in this agreement. Whereas the second one means, you have never worshipped Allah purely. Final warning. Why? Because the verse before it, I know I'm using a lot of numbers here, but verse four is, وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ. I've never been a worshipper of this stuff. And by the way, you've never worshipped Allah. That's the meaning here. Because of sort of the arrangement, some scholars said the first one was intended to the agreement, and the second was intended to tell them your track record, by the way. You've never done this right. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. For you is your religion. and for me is this religion. There's a few things also in this last verse that are very interesting that the scholars do point out. The first of them, it says, lakum, for all of you, is deenukum, your deen. It doesn't say lakum, for you all, is adyanukum, your religions. But the surah begins with al-kafirun. Kafirun are many. There's the Christian kafirun, there's the Jewish kafirun, and there's the pagan kafirun. And they're all kafirun, right? So why does it say, for you all is your religion? Why is it reducing them all to one religion? Because they kind of are. Kufr is basically the same thing. Kufr is all the same thing. I'm restraining myself. But let me think of a better example. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that two people from different religions don't inherit from one another. This is the safe example, okay? The more politically correct example. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, just as an example, he would say that if sort of a Jewish family, one of them became Christian, he can still inherit from his Jewish relative that passed. Right? Because they're all basically one religion. What the Prophet ﷺ must have meant is that the kafir and the Muslim and the kafir, there's a boundary there when it comes to the estate or the inheritance. Right? They're all one religion. But in the context of this surah, you have your religion, once again, means go ahead and do what you want with it. Feel free. It's all the same. Change it as you like. You've changed it to begin with. It's not a religion, right? It's not a deen, should I say. Because also a deen is a system. A system is expected to be something that lasts. Test of time, test of criticism. You know, وَمَا كَانَ لِيَأْخُذَ أَخَاهُ فِي دِينِ الْمَلِكِ In Surah Yusuf, Allah says, and he would not have been able to get his brother, to rescue his brother from the others. He was not going to be able to apprehend his brother in the deen of the king. The deen means what? In the law, the local law of Egypt at the time. So the deen was used as a legal system. Likewise, deen in the widest sense is a religious system. But in Islam, it's a religious system, meaning beliefs about the super, the metaphysical, the ghaib. It also involves, our ethics and our dealings. It has to do with finance. It gives us everything. In other words, I already have a whole package, and I have a real deen. You guys all have a deen. Feel free to play with it. I'm not interested in this game. That is the meaning of this language. And also, it began with the kafirun and their deen, right? And their offer. And it ends with our deen. As if to say, you guys keep trying to basically run the clock. I have a deen. That's the one that's going to remain at the end. It has the final word. It has the final say. It doesn't say, for me is my deen, for you is your deen. You guys have your deen, and you have your offer, and you guys enjoy it for the time being, and mine will not get abtar. Mine will not get cut off. Mine remains unchanging. Mine remains perpetual. And some scholars also said, in addition to no flexibility in creed, they said that the wisdom in it also being called a deen, it didn't say our deen, the deen of the Muslims. It was just said my deen, the deen of the Prophet, so as not to provoke them. Because they actually don't know how many people are becoming Muslim. They're starting to feel the pressure and saying, maybe we should compromise, maybe we should negotiate, because they already feel it slipping, right? And so the Prophet ﷺ was guided, even in the negotiation, to not flex his numbers early, to not show his cards early. You all have your thing going for you. I have a deen on the table. It's a real deen. It's an unchanging deen. And it's my deen for now, right? Perhaps that was of the wisdom also of the non-congruence or the difference in the ending between deenukum and deen, not deenuna, our deen. Forgive me if there's a lot of technicality, linguistic technicality, but we're learning together, elevating the discourse together, inshallah ta'ala. We ask Allah to benefit us and to increase in strength and stability and to make us of those proud of our deen that he granted us, unwavering in our creed, and of benefit to ourselves and the creation through that. Allahumma ameen. And once again, may he not deprive us of drinking from the sunnah of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this dunya and from his kawthar in the akhirah. آمين 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 صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.